Shalom, Australia. On Tuesday, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and other coalition party heads reached an agreement to end a crisis over a contentious IDF enlistment bill, ending rampant speculation that a snap election would be called as early as that evening. The Prime Minister had been widely seen as supporting early elections as a way of cementing his rule ahead of a possible bribery indictment. However, he appeared to change his mind. Netanyahu took credit for the agreement, taunting the opposition for what he said was its fear of elections. The compromise, reached after a day of intensive talks, meant that the coalition party leaders were given freedom on how they instructed their factions on how to vote on an ultra-Orthodox-backed bill exempting Haredi students from joining the IDF. The bill will be amended according to recommendations to be drafted by the Defence Ministry and will face its final two votes in the summer. The 2019 state budget was also approved, fulfilling the conditions set by Finance Minister Moshe Kahlon to stay in the coalition. The Shin Bet Security Agency said yesterday that 26-year-old Ala Kabha, who killed two IDF soldiers and seriously wounded two others in a West Bank car ramming, has confessed to carrying out a terror attack. The security agency said that it appeared that he acted alone and possibly spontaneously when he drove his vehicle into a group of soldiers standing guard near the settlement of Mavo Dotan near Jenin on Friday afternoon. Earlier, Kabha's family insisted that the deadly incident must have been an accident. His father said, "I extend my condolences to the families of the victims," and he rejected Hamas's praise for his son's alleged attack. Kabha downplayed his son's recent imprisonment, saying that Allah had got into trouble once for stone throwing or something like that. The family home will be demolished. An explosion was heard yesterday afternoon in the eastern portion of the Gaza Strip in the vicinity of the area in which two explosive devices detonated on Thursday morning. Yesterday's incident marked the fifth time in 3 months a device was detonated near the Gaza fence. The High Court of Justice on Thursday temporarily suspended a government plan to deport tens of thousands of African migrants. The previous day, the government said it would freeze the planned deportations in advance of the expected court ruling while it worked to address legal questions surrounding the campaign. The emergency injunction was issued in response to a petition signed by 120 refugees and asylum seekers from Eritrea and Sudan. The court gave the government until March 26 to respond to the petition and instructed it to suspend its deportation plan. The court wrote in its ruling that the injunction does not affect those migrants who choose to leave the country voluntarily. Deputy Foreign Minister Tzipi Hotoveli criticised the court's ruling, saying the High Court's decision today, which prevents the state from deporting infiltrators to a third-party country, prevents the government from dealing with one of the most difficult social issues in the State of Israel. On Tuesday, Israel closed the Holot detention centre, where the state housed illegal migrants, largely from Eritrea and Sudan. The move is seen as a major step towards implementing the deportation plan. Approximately half of the 38,000 asylum seekers in the country could be deported under the plan. Women, married men and children will not be deported under the first stage of the deportations. The expulsion policy, which offers each migrant $3,500 and a plane ticket, has been condemned by the United Nations as a chaotic, poorly executed and unsafe policy. Asylum seekers previously deported to Uganda and Rwanda have reported that they face serious danger and even imprisonment after arriving in Africa without proper documents. Israel considers the vast majority of them to be job seekers and says it has no legal obligation to keep them. Israeli officials commonly refer to them as infiltrators. A Jerusalem appeals court upheld a ruling against a Jews-only online job board last week, ordering the website to be closed within 7 days. Avodah Ivrit allows employers and job seekers to advertise and apply for positions, but only if they are Jewish. The Reform Movement's Israel Religious Action Center and the Masawa Arab Advocacy Group sued the website successfully, arguing that it was bigoted against non-Jews. In the coming day, the court will reconvene to discuss how much the website's owners will have to pay in damages. A group of four Orthodox Jewish women has threatened to take the chief rabbinate to Israel's highest court after their request to take an official rabbinate exam in family purity laws was rejected with no explanation. The exam was held on Thursday. The women were not allowed to sit for it. The Kolech organization and the Rachman Center at Bar-Ilan University have joined Itim, an organization that helps people navigate the religious authorities' bureaucracy, in supporting the women. The women have been studying and teaching Jewish law for many years. Passing the exams, which are taken by thousands of men during the process of rabbinical ordination, are also, in some professions, the equivalent of an academic degree and could enable the women to increase their pay grade in certain positions or apply for certain civil service positions. Itim's director, Rabbi Seth Farber, called the policy of not allowing the women to sit for the exam illegal. Israel's fertility rate was significantly higher in 2016 than that of any other developed countries, the Central Bureau of Statistics reported on Tuesday. The overall fertility rate for Israelis was 3.11 children per woman. The OECD average is 1.7. The report also found that Jewish women have as many babies as Arab women, continuing a trend whereby the gap has steadily narrowed over the last 20 years. According to the report, 181,405 babies were born in Israel in 2016, a 92% increase compared to the year 1980. Israel has retained its spot as the 11th happiest country in the world for the fifth year running, according to the United Nations annual World Happiness Report published on Wednesday, ranking it just behind Australia at number 10. Surveying 156 countries on the basis of factors such as citizens' freedom, gross domestic product, expenditure on health, and lack of corruption, the annual survey placed Scandinavian countries at the top. The report, which also for the first time evaluated 117 countries by the happiness and well-being of their immigrants, notes that Jews who immigrate to Israel from the former Soviet Union have a much better life than they had before they immigrated, even though they still do have problems. It ranks Israel 12th on the list for happiness of the foreign-born. Israel's overall number 11 position was helped by its health system. The report places Israel in 6th position for improvements in life expectancy after Japan, Iceland, Italy, Switzerland, and Canada. This is Peter Jones-Pelach reporting for SBS Radio from a very happy Jerusalem.